The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Did you know that Eric wears dentures that have been in his family for generations? It's true. They're discolored and disgusting.
But they have deep personal meaning for Eric, so we ask that you respect that.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Thanks, Todd. I really didn't want everybody to know about that, but it's true. They're badly stained. I had a great aunt that loved blueberry pie, but it does have personal meaning to me. Folks, I get giddy sometimes doing the show because I get to hang out with friends and just talk to them. I'm sitting here with my friend Mike Brown. Mike, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you,
man. I just get happy, but then I forget to tell people like who you even are. People like, well, some friend of Eric's. So in case
that's what matters,
know,
though, friend of Eric's.
Well,
that's enough.
But that's true. You're very kind. It matters to some people. But look, I remember I got to know you when I was going to Times Square Church, and you were preaching. And I remember thinking, who's this guy? This guy was like a drug head from the 60s and whatever, and now he's like a Jesus freak. And I was just so fascinated by your story. And then I've heard you speak a bunch of times. I remember you spoke at Yale in the 90s on anti-Semitism. And, you know, so I've just seen all these different sides of you. Now you have a radio show called Line of Fire. You've written many books. There are many sides to Dr. Michael Brown, but today, we're going to talk about your new book. Okay. It's called Not Afraid of the Antichrist, Why We Don't Believe in a Pre-Tribulation Rapture. And I think you're assuming some things. Why we don't believe in a pre-tribulation. Who doesn't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture?
So first thing, the we is Professor Craig Keener and yours truly.
That's a very interesting dodge. Very clever. You can say we because you have a co-author. Craig Keener is a genius. So that's you're in good company.
Yeah, so the publisher approached Craig and me a couple years back and said, would you like to write a book on this? So both of us came to faith in churches that believed in the antimony rapture, that we're about to be raptured out of here, that suddenly, unexpectedly, and I've been hearing this since 71, any second Jesus is going to come, and whatever we're doing, so you and I during an interview will suddenly just be sucked out of here. A pilot on a plane, just be sucked out if they're Christians. You know, taxi driver, just gone.
Well, there have been movies made.
Yeah, Left Behind series of books by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins and the late great Planet Earth, and I came to faith. So good Christians, people who love the Lord, talking about this, and then after that, after we're raptured out, all hell breaks loose, 7 years on the earth.
Let's go back because I'm sure there are tons of people that are already confused because they don't know what the heck we're talking about, right? There's a lot of people who listen to this program. They don't know anything about this rapture stuff. So let's just say that in the last 40 or so years, a lot of people have started talking about this concept that Jesus is going to take his people back to heaven instantly
and invisibly
before all hell breaks loose and the Antichrist comes and all the evil end time stuff. So people have heard about the end time stuff, the Antichrist and da-da-da-da-da. But there are some Christians that are they have pushed this idea. I have not been one of them because I have been effectively agnostic on the subject. I don't know what Scripture says. I have read the Scripture, and I think you can take it a number of different ways and whatever. So I've never really gotten into this, which is why I want to talk to you about it. So, but there are some people that say, look, it's clear that before things get nasty, all the good Christians are going to get sucked out, as you said, and we're not going to deal with that, and everybody's going to be left behind with the Antichrist in charge, and it's going to be bad news, man. Okay, so that's the concept. But you, whom I respect theologically, say no. You and Craig Keener have written a book where it's called Not Afraid of the Antichrist, Why We Don't Believe in a Pre-Tribulation Rapture. So my first question is, when did you come to the idea that the idea of the rapture, that we're going to get sucked out of here before all this bad stuff, when did you come to the idea that that's not the case? That's not what Scripture says.
So when I came to faith in 71, as you referenced, heroin shooting, LSD using, hippie rock drummer, the church taught about the second coming of Jesus and taught about the rapture and don't want to be left behind and all that. So that's I came to faith in that environment. So that's what I embraced and believed. In fact, I remember I pulled up on a Sunday morning for Sunday school at our little church building in Queens, New York. And it was one of those times.
This
where
is
said,
in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. Or 71, maybe. 72, 73.
What part of Queens?
Springfield Gardens.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Yeah. So I pulled up. I'd only been saved a year or two at this point. And what happened was, it was one of those times when you push the clock back or forward, and I forgot to do it. So I pulled up early, and nobody was there. And I thought, oh, no. Oh, no, Sunday morning, I missed the rapture. I don't know what happened.
What were you, like 17?
Yeah, 17, 18, you know, so that's
at the age when you have those thoughts, right?
Yeah, so that's the environment where I came to faith. And at that time, I was really zealous for the Scriptures. And I would spend at least 3 hours praying every day and at least 3 hours in the Word, reading the Bible and memorizing Scripture. I used to memorize 20 verses every single day without fail, month in, month out.
Now, did you do that just to make me feel guilty?
Well, no, I'm going to tell you the Craig Keener story to make you feel guilty. So, okay. Craig, on his part, he was an atheist as a teenager, came to faith and thought, boy, I wasn't raised in the church. I need to catch up. So he began to read the Bible 40 chapters a day so he could read through the Bible once a month. So I'm memorizing 20.
If you read 40 chapters a day, you get through the Bible in a month?
Yeah, New Testament once a week and the whole Bible once a month. That's what Craig said.
Wait. If you read 40 chapters of the Bible a day, you get through the whole Bible in a month.
Yeah, that's yeah.
So Craig Keener was on the that's the AP course.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So he's reading through the Bible once a month. I'm memorizing 20 verses a day plus reading the Bible 2 hours a day.
And if we served a works righteousness God, man. You guys,
oh, yeah,
you'd be at the head of the
But we were hungry for the Word. We both love the Word, hungry for the Word. Okay. All right, so anyhow, what happened was a couple of years after this, so now I'm a believer for about 4 years,
yeah.
The question comes up, did this whole thing you believe about a pre-trib rapture and this whole system where there's a rapture, then there's a second coming where we get sucked out invisibly and then the Lord returns and that we feast in heaven while all the Jews are getting slaughtered on the earth, did you get that reading the Bible for yourself? Or did you get that reading other books about the subject? And I thought, you know, when I was memorizing 20 verses a day, when I was reading the Bible 2 hours a day, I didn't see it in there. So I bought all the books to learn the system. And Craig had a similar kind of awakening. It's like, wait a second. Everything else I believed, I could defend. I could quote Scripture and explain it.
Right.
But this, I realized I didn't know the system, so I bought all the books about it. I became very dogmatic. I taught it. And then it dawned on me, you got this from books,
yeah.
Not from the Bible. I mean,
theoretically, the books got it from the Bible. I mean, we don't want to be, you know, you don't want to imply that everybody just reading the Bible can get everything. There's room for people like you, for example, to help interpret what I read
sure.
in the Bible.
But here's the question. How many people, look, I, I believe in the deity of Jesus. I got that reading the Bible. I believe that there's a heaven and a hell. I got that reading the Bible. I heard it taught in the church, but many things I believe were challenged. They were challenged in university. They were challenged by rabbis. They were challenged by cults. So I could tell you I got this from studying scripture on my own.
Right.
But I've never met anyone that came up with this whole scheme that got it on their own.
Let me just get this before we go to the break. I want to be clear. This is what I'm saying. I should have said up front, you are Jewish. You were raised as a New York Jew. You got into drugs. You got into drumming. I believe the Lord led you away from drumming, right?
What's wrong with drumming?
I thought drumming was it's not scriptural. But I'm saying that you...
I'm not a rock drummer anymore.
You were... I'm joking too much. But you were raised as a Jew. You obviously are Jewish. And to hear that somebody from Queens, especially at that time, the early 70s, becomes a Jesus follower who was a Jew. I mean, I know so many today, but you really were in some small company. I mean, some narrow circles at that point.
Yeah, especially in my church, you know, which was just a little Italian Pentecostal church in Queens. At that time, God was bringing a whole lot of Jewish people to faith in Jesus, late 60s, early 70s, but I wasn't connected to
them.
All
right, I want to talk to you about all this. There's so much interesting stuff. Folks, I'm talking to Dr. Michael Brown. The new book is called Not Afraid of the Antichrist, Why We Don't Believe in a Pre-Tribulation Rapture. Stick around. Hey, this is Eric Metaxas for Americans for Freedom of Religion. Have you heard the lie that America's public schools are God-free zones? Do you hear Americans who lament that God, religion, and morals are not allowed in our schools? Politicians and the media have twisted the phrase separation of church and state, insisting that God is not allowed in our schools, but that just is not true. Student prayer was never removed from schools, and the Department of Education's guidelines state that students may pray, read the Bible, and share about their faith as long as it's student-initiated, voluntary, and non-disruptive. But public school students are routinely told not to pray, write about their faith, or even speak the phrase Merry Christmas. Learn more at AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org. Download our video and educational materials to share with your family, friends, and public school administrators. Please consider contacting or supporting this nonprofit religious freedom movement so that we may preserve America's religious heritage. Visit AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org to get involved and support our fight for freedom of religion. AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org.
Have you ever thought about getting out of your timeshare? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are an unhappy timeshare owner, getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list. And with those annual maintenance fees hitting you hard in the pocketbook, you probably wish you had a way to get out of that burdensome and expensive timeshare. Thankfully, we can help. Give us a call and let us do what we've done for over 8,000 others. Our process is done legally and ethically, and best of all, quickly as possible. Lone Star Transfer is a family-owned business with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. We will personally make sure your experience is a pleasant one. Don't let this be your lasting legacy. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863. That's 844-284-4863. Or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas. If you know MyPillow, you already know how effective it is. On this program, we joke half seriously
that it is the official pillow of Rip Van Winkle. Mike Lindell dedicated himself to inventing a pillow that works, that's effective. It's not a joke. I mean, he, if you know his story, we've interviewed him on the program. It's an amazing story, right? Okay, well, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, right now is the perfect time to get your first My Pillow. By the way, if you already know how great it is, you can get them for everybody you know. But I say that because right now on this program, to my listeners, there is a special offer, a four-pack offer that includes two premium My Pillows with two go-anywhere pillows plus free shipping. You have to call 800-978-3057 and use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or call 800-978-3057. Do it now.
Sometimes you dream, sometimes it seems.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. That's Elton John. I'm Eric. You're Mike Brown, Dr. Mike Brown. It's so good to have you here. It's the problem when I have people that I like and we have fun, and I can't shut up and I'm joking. We were just talking about three different things, and then we were talking about music. You said that the song that I played on this program, America, look at all, this is for all the lonely people,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You said that Dan Peek, who sings that, became a Christian. Now, I never heard that.
Yeah. So what happened was we were doing the show, and
you and I were doing this show.
Yeah. So some time back, with another one of my books had come out, we were doing an interview on it, and that song played, and you know, Don't Give Up Till You Drink from the Silver Cup, and you made some comment like, what is the silver cup? So it got me wondering. Well, anyway, I wrote a book that came out a few months ago called The Power of Music: God's Call to Change the World One Song at a Time. And in it, I go through how rock is, how music, for good or bad, has influenced culture, from classical to rock to hip-hop to gospel, etc. Then with a call to Christians to fully use music as a revolutionary tool to touch the world. And I talk about the spiritual side of rock and people that were on these spiritual journeys, and you know, Kerry Livgren, who wrote Wayward Son, and then he comes to faith. And, well, Dan Peek with Lonely People, apparently he had written that in response to the Beatles' Eleanor Rigby, thinking it was a little too depressing and sad. And he wrote that, and the Silver Cup meant something else. I mean, I looked into it because you got me wondering.
I can't believe I've had this influence on your life. I didn't expect that.
Anyway, what happens is he comes to faith at a certain point, and he changes the words to it. So folks, just look for Lonely People, Christian version, on YouTube. You'll hear Dan Peek sing. He wrote another song, became popular, All Things Are Possible. And then I think he passed away last year. But anyway, so yes, you contributed to one of my books, unknowingly. Of course, I didn't mention you.
And of course, now you have contributed to this show by telling me about one of the songs that I have on here. That's so cool, though. but we're talking about your book, Not Afraid of the Antichrist, Why We Don't Believe in a Pre-Tribulation Rapture. Now, I wanted to be clear with the audience. You grew up Jewish. You mentioned something that I don't know that I've ever heard. You said that some people believe that all the Jews are going to get slaughtered in the end times. Tell me a little bit about that, because I don't know that I've ever heard that.
Yeah, so I have many colleagues who do believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. Some I've worked with for many, many decades, and plenty of others, just like you, I have no idea what they believe, but we've worked side by side, because this is an issue we don't divide over, and the book is not divisive. The book explains why we believe what we believe, and right. People need to read it. But we make clear we don't divide over this. We have respectful differences. But
even though it clearly says in the Nicene Creed – oh, just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. So here's the deal. Dispensationalists, those who believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, they have been great friends of Israel, great lovers of Israel, have believed a century ago that the Jewish people would be regathered, that there'd be a modern state of Israel. So they were ahead of the curve in that regard. But part of the theology is that basically God will bring the Jewish people back to the land, and then two-thirds of the Jewish people will be slaughtered in Israel. So it's kind of an odd scene that the Christians are raptured up because, quote, we're not appointed to wrath, right? So that means that if wrath is being poured out on the world, God can't protect us here. He's got to take us out. But it is going to be a time when all hell breaks loose over the whole earth, but especially for the Jewish people living in Israel. So we feast in heaven while the Jews get slaughtered on the earth. That is the theology.
It sounds pretty tendentious to me. It's amazing how people misread Scripture or say things. This is what fascinates me, is that people read Scripture and they see something, go, well, it's so clear. And I go, well, to me, it's not clear. You know, like you could say the same thing about hell or about, you know, there's certain things that people say, well, it's obvious that, and you go, well, I know what it says, but I don't know how you get that reading so clearly. In other words, you might be right, but it doesn't seem clear that the Scripture is saying this or this or this. When we're talking about the end times, I've never been more fascinating on how sure people are of what it says. And like you, I mean, I've read the Bible for myself many times, and it's never super clear. I mean, what you just said about wrath is poured out, but wrath can't be poured out on us. And he's like, well, wait a second. Wrath being poured out, what does that even mean? I mean, it could mean a lot of things. It could be it could happen in a lot of ways. Wrath could be poured out and the Lord could protect us from the wrath, or he could give us the strength to live through the wrath, you know. So I'm assuming that ultimately that that's where you came out on that scripture.
Yeah. So first thing, not being appointed to wrath, that's basically talking about hell. In other words, when Paul was writing to the Thessalonians and said, we're not appointed to wrath, he wasn't saying, oh, by the way, that has no relevance to us and have no relevance to 2,000 years of Christians, except those living in that last little period of time. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when it's talking about wrath, it's primarily associated with the return of Jesus coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who don't know God. So that's also there taught. But there are plenty of examples of Scripture where God protects his people. So, for example, as the plagues were being poured out on Egypt,
right?
The magicians, they send word, Pharaoh's, what's going on with the Israelites in Goshen? Nothing's happening to them. You got pitch darkness over the Egyptians. You've got people dying. You've got every kind of tragedy taking place. And for the Israelites, not happening at all.
Okay.
So God can protect us while he pours out judgment on a sinning world.
And that's the basic thesis, it sounds like to me, of your book, Not Afraid of the Antichrist, that you wrote with Craig Keener. You're saying that when the end times come and bad things are happening all around, we will be here, those of us who already believe in Jesus, and we will live through this period. And the evidence from the Scripture that will be sucked out before that stuff goes down, man, it's not there.
It's not there. But here's the positive point. We are overcomers. We don't need to escape. We are overcomers. What do we tell the people that have been burned to death, tortured to death, buried alive, that is the Antichrist going to bury them worse or torture them worse or burn them worse?
Well, okay, but you bring up a big point that there are a lot of people that, you know, they say they're Christians, but they have some very bad theology. The idea that, you know, in other words, let's say you read the Scripture says we're overcomers or whatever. People interpret that to be like, I'll never have a bad day.
Yeah.
And if I ever do, it's because of lack of faith on my part, right?
Yep.
So that seems to me patently absurd, because just as you said, even Paul writing about those who were sawn in two, all of these heroes, it's like, well, if only they had more faith, they wouldn't have gone through that. That's the implication. And so it's kind of like an anti-suffering gospel.
Yeah, it does play in well with the American success in life gospel.
The prosperity gospel taken to a side level, or it's part of the prosperity gospel, isn't it?
It came before the prosperity gospel, but it certainly fits in well with that. It's a theology that makes very little sense in other parts of the world. Jesus says in John 16:33, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Paul says in Acts 14:22, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. It's a true story. I heard it, but then got it verified, that Christians in China before the rise of communism, that they were telling the believers there, they were teaching them a pre-trib rapture and said, hey, before a real calamity happens, you'll be pulled out. And then Mao, communism, all the horrific suffering of the Christians there for so many years. When missionaries came back years later, there were Christians that were very upset, saying, you deceived us. You told us that before terrible tribulation came, we'd be pulled out. That's never been the message. God gives us grace to endure. He protects us. and he helps us to overcome that. And our book, by the way, is filled with hope. We end with hope. We end with victory. So I don't have an escapist mentality. And I'm not saying all my pre-trib friends do, but I certainly don't. Whatever's coming will be preserved in the midst of it and will overcome in the midst of it. And if we die in the midst of it for the gospel, so be it.
Praise the Lord. I was going to say. Well, you know, it's funny, Mike, because people say, well, how could God allow that kind of suffering? Or how could God? And my question is, when I hear about people who suffered the horrors of persecution in communist China for their Christian faith, the horror to me that is doubled is the idea that God would allow Christian missionaries to teach these people something that's not true. In other words, that's so heartbreaking to me that they were taught this as though it were true, and then they face this horror. It's just to my mind, it's just so disturbing. It's kind of like, you know, but there are many people that in America today, they're hearing this false gospel, like everything's great except Jesus. Everything's going to be great. You know, you'll never have tooth decay again.
Yeah, look, I've been to India 25 straight years. I've literally washed the feet of martyrs, widows there. People we've laid hands on and sent out to preach the gospel have been killed. A grad from our own ministry school killed a few years ago by Al-Qaeda terrorists sharing the gospel in a poor Muslim country. But they knew that's the price.
Wow. Okay, we're going to be right back talking to Michael Brown. The book is Not Afraid of the Antichrist. Stick around.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is accusing those responsible for launching the special counsel investigation of treason and says they, quote, will certainly be looked at. The president did not specify who he's referring to. An Israeli airstrike destroying a multi-story building in Gaza City. The Israeli military issued a statement saying the building was a secret headquarters of the Hamas terror organization. Norwegian officials investigating into why a cruise ship carrying more than 1,300 people set sail along the country's western coast despite storm warnings, forcing a major evacuation by helicopter. Prosecutors on two coasts have charged President Trump critic and attorney Michael Avenatti with extortion and bank and wire fraud. Avenatti, who has been arrested, faces federal charges in New York and California. On Wall Street, the Dow is off 94 points. This is SRN News.
Your family depends on your income, and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Many people today think the Bible, the most influential book in world history, is not only outdated, but also irrelevant, irrational, and even immoral. Dennis Prager here. I've written a book, The Rational Bible, Genesis, to prove otherwise. My new book demonstrates clearly and powerfully that the Bible remains profoundly relevant both for the great issues of our day and in each of our lives. The Rational Bible Genesis comes out this May, and I want to invite you to join me for an exclusive pre-launch event for my book on May 6th in Orlando, Florida. That will be the first day it will be available to the public. Get your tickets today. Be part of a full-day celebration with me and our partners at TBN. Come and be part of the studio audience for the taping and live broadcast of my radio show. After the broadcast, I'll discuss my new book, answer your questions, and you'll get a signed copy of The Rational Bible Genesis. Join me in Orlando on May 6th. Get your tickets today when you visit my website, DennisPrager.com, and click on the Rational Bible banner. See you in Orlando.
The is for all the lonely people, thinking that life has passed them by. Don't give up until you drink from the silver cup and give your heart to Jesus Christ. This is for all the single people.
I can't believe I'm listening to this. This is so cool. I have a guest on the show, Mike Brown. We're talking about your book, Not Afraid of the Antichrist, and somehow you let me know that there is this Christian, quote-unquote, version of that America song, and I've never heard that before. That is so cool.
Yeah, so Dan Peake talks about a dark time in his life, drugs and things like that, and then he got saved and put out the Christian version of it. Yeah, quite remarkable.
But did he have any kind of a career following this? I mean, I was not a huge America fan. I know their songs, but it's not like I know.
Yes, I mean, I knew stuff up to 71 when I got saved. I knew, you know, I went to the rock concerts and all that. Then I just knew a little bit about these groups after.
Then you started listening to Sandy Patty and the Gaithers.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously.
Phil Kagi and Keith Green
Phil Kagi and Keith Green, nobody better. Nobody better. That is so cool.
There's
an
amazing Sandy Patty, and was it Darnell Harrison?
I don't know.
Amazing duet, More Than Wonderful.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway. Yeah, so when I was researching for my book, The Power of Music, I wanted to look into this more about the meaning of the song. So Dan Peake, then I remembered, that's right, he put out another song, All Things Are Possible. So for a little while, at least, he had a stint in terms of contemporary Christian music. And then at the end of his life, I think he went back to doing stuff with America or doing stuff on his own.
Was this in the mid-70s that he's doing this stuff? Or what?
I forget the dates. Maybe a little bit later.
I mean, it's just interesting because, you know, you look back. Larry Norman was doing his thing. You have so many different types of people trying to influence, you know, culture in different ways. And it's interesting. Larry Norman I see as kind of in the middle in a way. But anyway, that's just that's
why should the devil have all the good music?
Yeah,
that was Larry Norman.
Yeah, well, for sure. Well, my friend Greg Thornberry wrote a book, a biography on him, and you realize what a messy time, like what a crazy time. Like his wife is, you know, thinking like, hey, maybe I could pose for Playboy, you know, as a Christian Playboy model. You know, like it's just a lunacy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but you know, the problem is though that we've had this Christian mentality where the goal is to be as good as the world. And the best thing is for the world to approve us. You think, did Jesus care about the approval of the world? Or did Paul care about the approval of the world? On the one hand, yeah, let's do things with excellence. Let it not be that Christian is associated with a slipshod, sub-quality job. But the idea that our goal, that we've made it when the celebrities like us and Hollywood. Yeah. No. We've made it when the Lord says, well done. And we may be dying in a prison for the gospel and the Lord says, well done. Then we've made it.
That gets back to what we were just talking about before. When you say that you have been to India and you have washed the feet of widows, of martyrs, and that you've been around people that you've seen who have been willing to suffer for their faith, most Americans don't get around that stuff. And it's very easy for us to forget that throughout history, Christians have been persecuted and we're fools to look for persecution.
Obviously.
But if it comes, we have the Lord with us in the midst of it. And that's the gist of your book, Not Afraid of the Antichrist. You're saying that when the end times happen, we will be here, those of us who are Christians, in the midst of it.
Yeah, or we're in the end times, and we've been in the end times since Jesus died and rose from the dead. So Professor Craig Keener and I, we go through the various passages. I go through the Old Testament verses and say, is there support for a pre-trib rapture in Old Testament precedent? And then I get into the New Testament vocabulary. What words are used? If there's a separate rapture 7 years before a second coming or 3.5 years before a second coming, how is it that the authors, Jesus, Paul, Peter, they all use the same words? They talk about coming and coming and appearance and revelation and revelation. How can it be that Jesus comes, but he doesn't come? It's the parousia of Christ is the arrival. He doesn't arrive, and it's an appearing, but he doesn't appear.
To somebody who doesn't know what you're talking about, what is your version of things? In other words, how do you see it playing out? And again, most logically, not that you know, but what is your best guess?
As best as we understand it, whatever time of tribulation, testing there is on earth and hell breaking loose, God will be moving mightily in the midst of it. Satan will be moving mightily. There'll be persecution, opposition. If God's judgment is poured out, God will uniquely protect us in the midst of that.
But you don't believe, as a Jew, for example, that because of the coming into existence of the modern state of Israel, that we're living close to the end times, close to the return of Jesus? Or what do you think about that?
Certainly we are closer. I mean,
look, we're always closer.
Right, naturally. From the moment we're born, we're closer to death.
Right,
I understand.
Right.
No, I'm not setting dates. I don't think we can set dates in any way. However, for sure, there are prophecies speaking of the return of Jesus that presuppose the Jewish people back in the land, that presuppose a Jewish Jerusalem, that presuppose Jerusalem in the midst of world controversy and attack. So the table has been set in a way that it wasn't set 50 or 100 years ago.
What is missing? Are we looking for like a red heifer? What are we looking for?
Some people say the temple has to be rebuilt. To me, I'm looking for the gospel to continue to spread around the earth, and I'm looking for more Jewish people to come to faith. But otherwise, I think a lot's in place, that in 5 years, everything could unfold, or 50 years. But what I understand is we will be here right until the end. And then as God's people are crying out, as the Jewish Jerusalem is crying out to the Messiah, he will appear in glory. Remember, we're waiting for his appearing.
He will appear
in glory. We'll be caught up to meet him and come down to earth together.
We'll be right back. The book is Not Afraid of the Antichrist. Stick around. Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Please.
Can I tell you about it?
Okay, you may.
I may?
You may.
But what I'm trying to say is I've got somebody even better.
Oh.
Yes, I've got a guy named Alan who's been using Relief Factor. I'd like to hear what he has to say about Relief Factor. Here it is.
I've been in back pain since my early 20s. Now I'm 51. In my early 20s, I worked for the state prison. I got injured and I was off work for about a year. I'm now a trained engineer. I basically sit all day long. My wife making me take Relief Factor literally changed my life. I don't feel like I'm 20 again, but my back does.
Well, see, I could talk about it all day long,
great,
but I'm telling you, so many people have been blessed by it. You go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. It's all botanicals. There's nothing dangerous about it. You can take it all day long, and you will know within 3 weeks if it works for you. And if it works for you, it will probably change your life. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
I remember feeling so desperate and so trapped. I was surrounded by family and friends that loved me. Any one of them would have listened to me, but I was so afraid of opening up to them, too embarrassed to talk about what was causing me so much pain. It felt like torture to be so close to people that would have loved to help me and yet too embarrassed to ask for help. And then a few weeks ago, I heard about Faithful Counseling here on the radio. Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who not only share my faith, but could actually help me. They want to give you a free week so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation by text or phone, even video conferencing, in the privacy of your own home. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you won't pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
I needed new blinds. I knew I could save a ton of money if I put them in myself, but I was nervous about measuring right and then installing them. That's why I went to Blinds.com. I'd heard their ads on the radio, how they're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. But I still had to install them. So I called in my design consultant, Carla. She talked me through it all, from picking the right blinds to installing them. Plus, the online design consultation was free. Samples were free. Shipping was free. My home looks perfect.
Spring is in the air, and with over 23 years online and 15 million windows covered, Blinds.com is America's number one choice. Every order gets free samples, free shipping, a free online design consultation, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to Blinds.com now through March 26th to get an extra 5% off on top of the huge spring savings event with promo code SHUTTERS. Blinds.com, promo code SHUTTERS. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start?
At the beginning, of course. With the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You'd build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz, vans, born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter available soon.
Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words and no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise.
Hey there, folks. That's Keith Green. I'm Eric Metaxas. I'm sitting here with my friend, Mike. I was going to say, Mike, before we continue our conversation, I just want to mention, I mentioned you earlier, we're doing this thing with Haiti. I want to remind my listeners before we have continue the conversation about your book, Not Afraid of the Antichrist. There's a crisis in Haiti right now. This program, we're doing all we can to let you know how you can help. Our friends at Food for the Poor are on the ground in Haiti now. All they need is your money. They have everything set up, but they need us to help them. So if you can give, obviously, you go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner. Now, basically, whatever you can give, we appreciate. But at a certain level, you get a signed copy of my Miracles book in hardcover. You get a signed copy of my Donald Drains the Swamp book. There's all kinds of stuff we want to do to thank you, but you have to give. Go to MetaxasTalk.com, or you can call toll-free. The number is 844-863-4673. That's 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Thank you. God bless you as you give. Mike Brown, so much to talk about with you. Not Afraid of the Antichrist is the new book. Now, this is going to be controversial because there are some people, I ain't one of them, who take the idea of a pre-tribulation rapture as seriously as the bodily resurrection of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing from them already as the book has been announced. And
you're going to burn, pal. You better turn. You're going to burn. I mean, come on. Like, people act as though that is in the Nicene Creed.
Yeah, and they take it very personally. And, you know, some say, well, you're delaying the Lord's coming. Listen, I live in readiness to meet the Lord. I live in eagerness to meet the Lord. I would love to see him come in my own lifetime. But just as a believer, no one's guaranteed tomorrow.
If you don't believe in a pre-trib rapture and preach it regularly, you are working with the terrorists, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I'm saying? No, but people are like that. They get on an issue. Yeah. It's the same thing with the young earth creationism or whatever it is. I mean, I can have conversations about these things, but there are people that act like that is as important as, do you believe Jesus is the Messiah?
Yeah.
And is he your Savior?
And here's what I like to just posit to people. It's like, well, if you're so sure, why would you be afraid to read the book where we very reasonably look at the evidence? Craig Keener goes through all of the verses that supposedly point to a pre-trib rapture and analyzes them, and then arguments for post-trib rapture. And then again, we close with hope, with victory, because the book is a practical book. And here's the thing. I'm living in readiness for the Lord's return. If he zapped us out of here, I'm ready to meet him. But those that think that we won't pass through tribulation, those who think that what's happened in much of church history around the world would never happen to American believers, or somehow they could be in for quite a surprise.
So, I was going to say it's the proverbial rude awakening. And when you talk about the folks in China who went through living hell,
yeah,
and yet the missionaries had preached to them, no, the Bible's super clear, that's not going to happen. It happened.
Yeah. And look, people say, well, it's going to be even worse with the Antichrist. Again, I ask the question for believers who've been sawed in half and believers who've been buried alive and believers who've watched their families be burned alive and on and on. Is the Antichrist going to do it worse than that? The fact is, the same grace that enabled others to endure suffering is the grace that will be ours. And at what point in world history do we want to be here more than the end of the ages when everything is exploding? What better place for us to be sharing the good news and standing up as witnesses and pointing to a better way? That's when we do it. And it's this gospel of grace.
And well, actually, in the way I often see it, too, is that we're here when the Lord wants us to be here. I mean, if the Lord wants me to be here during that time, he will give me the grace at that time. But to act like I get a choice in the matter, I don't get a choice in the matter. I mean, right now, I don't live in North Korea. I didn't choose to live in America. Everybody in the world, we were born when the Lord wanted us to be born, and we're going to go when he wants us to go. And our job is in the middle of it to look to him. But I think that sometimes people act as though it has to happen this way or the whole thing is not true. I mean, yeah. I guess that's my takeaway.
Yeah. And what I want to encourage folks to know is this: God's word is totally trustworthy. Jesus is Lord. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He's returning. We don't divide over these other issues, which really are secondary, but we should be willing to look at the word and see what it really says. And then to ask the question, could you come up with this whole end time scheme, which you often need charts to analyze? By the way, you will not buy our book because of the amazing charts in it. We don't have amazing charts in it. We got amazing interpretation of amazing scripture. But the purpose is to say, let's step back and look at what the Bible actually says and doesn't say. I have a story about you go to pick up Uncle Fred at the airport. And I said, listen, I want you to pick up my Uncle Fred at the airport. Well, what time is he coming in? He's coming in on flight 11. That's at 8:03 p.m. What does he look like? Well, he's 6'3", and he's got kind of reddish hair and a beard. Okay. And then after that, I need you to go to the airport and pick up Uncle Fred. What time is he coming in? He's coming in 11:04 on flight 14. What does he look like? Well, he's 5'2" with scruffy black hair, and that's Uncle Fred. It's like, well, I thought you said that Uncle Fred. Well, it's completely confusing. That's how it is. Once you read the Bible in the original languages, this whole rapture, second coming, it doesn't work because it's the same words being used and the same descriptions. It cannot work for two separate, distinct events. And again, if it's true, it is an arrival that never arrives, an appearing that never appears, a revelation that is hidden. It doesn't work.
This is going to be so controversial. You're going to be taken outside the camp, Michael Brown. You realize that there's some people that just can, they're just like, man, if he's wrong on this, it's just, you know, I'm just fascinated because, look, like you, I grew up in the world. I grew up in a world where nobody knows nothing about the Bible. So the idea that people are so deep into it, that this is like the most important thing.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, it's kind of funny to me, but obviously it's not going to be, you know, funny to you when you hear from people that are convinced, you know, that your great learning has made you mad. But
why would this day be any different than any other day?
There you go. But, you know, but it does hurt when your own attack you, right? I mean, that's happened to me over Bonhoeffer or whatever.
Yeah.
The people that, you know, you really do hear that, you know, these Christians can be really vicious, and you start thinking like, yeah, I hate to agree, but I've seen it. And on these theological issues, it gets tough. We'll be right back. Final segment with Michael Brown. The book is Not Afraid of the Antichrist.
What if every Christian discovered that their favorite hero of the faith held to some false and even shocking views? In his new book, Regrace, best-selling author Frank Viola uncovers some of the shocking beliefs held by faith giants like Luther, Augustine, and C.S. Lewis. He challenges us all to engage with fellow believers more graciously, even when we disagree. Regrace is available now, wherever books are sold.
on April 5th. Don't miss The Best of Enemies, starring Academy Award nominee Taraji P. Henson.
I play Ann Atwater, a civil rights activist who was able to approach hate with love.
And Academy Award winner Sam Rockwell.
All the better if you don't get my way.
Well, I'm going to get in your way.
If you change one heart, you can change the world.
I have a Bible.
And then you ought to know, same God made you, made me.
The Best of Enemies, based on the untold true story. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters April 5th.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is accusing those responsible for launching the special counsel investigation of treason and says they, quote, will certainly be looked at.
There are a lot of people out there that have done some very, very evil things, very bad things, I would say treasonous things against our country.
The president did say special counsel Bob Mueller acted honorably during his investigation.
It's lasted a long time. We're glad it's over. It's 100% the way it should have been. I wish it could have gone a lot sooner, a lot quicker.
Those comments come a day after the attorney general told Congress that special counsel Mueller found no evidence the president or his associates conspired with Russia to influence the 2016 election. After a Hamas rocket injured seven, an Israeli airstrike has destroyed a multi-story building in Gaza City. Reportedly, the secret headquarters of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh. This is SRN News.
I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3388. Enjoy.
Show talking to Mike Brown. The book is Not Afraid of the Antichrist. It comes with a big blurb from Mike Bickle. Now, I have to laugh because a lot of people listening to this program don't know who Mike Bickle is, and yet the people who know who Mike Bickle is are going like, awesome, you got a blurb from Mike Bickle. It is interesting how some people wouldn't even, you know, they'd be afraid to give you a blurb because how attacked they would get on this issue. And I noticed he didn't ask me for a blurb. And I might have given you one. Alvin, do you think we would have given this guy a blurb?
Every time we ask, we get refused because you're too busy.
That is not true. I hope that's not true.
All right. Then I get one coming to you for another book coming out later this year.
That is total nonsense.
No, I never would think such a thing.
That is not true. That is straight up not true. We're going to talk about this off the air.
All right. Your people.
Well, then
when they insist I refer to you as Mr. Metaxas, it gets a little tacky.
Judge Metaxas. I prefer – just call me – Judge.
All right, Judge.
All right, so this book with a blurb from Mike Bickle is called Not Afraid of the Antichrist. But again, I want to say, you know, there are people that I think of them in many ways as modern day Pharisees when they major in the minors. They're more excited about this issue than they are about Jesus rising from the dead.
We could all do that, though. And hopefully the fact that Professor Craig Keener and I write in a gracious style. I mean, I went out of my way, and he went out of his way to honor the churches where we came to faith that were pre-trib and people that we work with and find teachers and believers. But for many, many years now, this view that was pretty much unknown in church history, totally unknown in church history until probably the 1830s and later, and then became so central to so many people have been leaving it for a long time. And I'm always surprised to find out when people passionately hold to this view, because I'm just not in those circles all the time. But either way, I've worked with people like my friend in India since 93 every year. I don't even know where he stands on this. All the years I preached for David Wilkerson when we knew each other at Times Square Church, 40, 50 times, I don't know where Brother Dave stood on it. In other words, I can work side by side with someone and not even know where they stand on it.
But I think it's healthy sometimes that we don't know where people stand on stuff, because who said, where does it say in Scripture that I need to take a stand on this issue? I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
What we want to do is be eager for his appearing and live with a sense of urgency and expectancy. So the way I live is, I've got one life anyway. There's a dying world. I've got one life to live.
You don't believe in reincarnation?
No, sir. So anyway, I know I'm in a relay race, okay? So I'm going to run my spot as best as I can. My great goal is to hand the baton to Jesus at the end. But that may not happen. I may hand it to the next generation and the next generation and the next, and they hand it to him. But either way, I'm running my race with urgency, with expectation, but with faith that no matter what comes on the earth, God's grace, God's word, God's power is enough. We are overcomers. And Craig Keener and I give a message of hope and encouragement, but we use our scholarship, but in a way that's popular for non-scholars right. to read and understand.
And I guess I want to say, just because we're out of time, you know, I joke around a lot, but honestly, I know you, I've known you for a long time. You are very respectful to your opponents. I've seen you, you know, debate people that are vicious, and you're always gracious. And so I want to say to people, read this book for that reason. In other words, you're not hitting people over the head. It's a respectful unpacking of what you think the Scripture says. And I would say that if people want to at least understand the issue, they can trust you.
Absolutely.
All right. My friend Michael Brown, God bless you. Thanks for being on the show.
My joy.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.